Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be as almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Tosh, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Wednesday edition, and I got good news and bad news. The good news is, for those of you who didn't enjoy yesterday's show, which we heard there were some of you in the YouTube comments who didn't, with Jim, Matt, and Molly taking over for Wilde and Tosh, we're back today, kinda. The bad news is Jason's a couple minutes behind, so he's gonna be here any minute. So here's the deal. Tosh also has the day off, so we're not entirely back at all. My name is Jesse Delson. I am the producer of this show. I am temporarily stepping in as the substitute teacher until Jason is here and ready to go. Mark Tauscher remains on assignment this week. We think he'll be back on Friday. So in his place, normally making appearances on the show on Wednesdays, we get him for a full day today. He is our special guest, Cousin Sub of the Day. I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. My nemesis, who I met in Green Bay last week at the NFL draft, from his undisclosed location outside the Orange Farm, it is Brian Bulaga, our special guest, Cousin Sub of the Day. Blue, what's going on? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Did you know you were signed up for the Nelson and Bulaga show today for at least 3 minutes?
Well, I did. I mean, when Jason told us that he could be potentially tardy, I just went, you know, that's, I mean, people think we have this all planned out like days in advance, like everything's written in stone, and, you know, it's on the fly. We're testing on the fly.
Sometimes things change. So I was going to save this for Woe Nelly a little bit later, but while we wait for Jason to get back here. So you were at the NFL draft in Green Bay last week. We had a chance to catch up. It was awesome seeing you. You had the big grill off with Tosh. Let's start by talking about that. So you versus Tosh at the Tundra Trio in Green Bay. Just outside of the NFL draft, just outside of Lambeau Field, a very highly anticipated showdown between a couple of offensive linemen that know a thing or two about grilling meat. Our friends at Pit Boss were the ones who put this whole competition together. Tosh was amping himself up about it all last week. And then I ran into you in the backyard, 30 minutes before you guys were getting ready to cook off, 30 minutes before the big showdown. You're like, eh. We'll see what happens. Yeah. Like you weren't into the thing at all. What happened?
You know, I guess I wasn't. I mean, I was into it. I guess I just, I'll put it this way. For one, I originally, and then I found out it was a 14-inch sausage.
Right? 14-inch, like, yeah, it's a big boy.
Yeah, like, yeah, this like wasn't something that I'm overly familiar with, right? Like, so let's just start with that. But I will say this, I was, you know, obviously nervous about it because obviously Tucker Kraft was the judge of tasting. So like my first initial reaction of doing that is like, don't want to get the guy sick, right? Like, all right, let's not get this guy sick.
Your first concern was you didn't want to give Tucker Kraft food poisoning.
Yes, that's the first concern because like I'm not overly familiar.
High standards cooking for this cook-off.
Yeah, like that's not, that's like, I'm not an overly, I'm not overly familiar cooking that type of sausage. We'll put it that way. That's not my forte. We'll just say that. But then obviously it's a new grill. You know, it's, I mean, the Pit Boss grill is fantastic. It's a beautiful grill, by the way. Smoker grill. It's like a combo mix type of deal. So that's new to me. I'm, you know, figuring that out. But it comes down to it.
When it comes down to it, you got hosed.
Oh, look who's here. Yeah.
You got hosed.
Oh, right.
Ridiculous. You won. I'm protesting.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and bellyache about it, right? Like, I'm not going to do that. I'm
you
not
could.
Bellyache.
You should.
I could. I should. But, well, Jesse left a little bit early. He didn't get to see. But
yeah, I didn't get to see the big finale.
Tausch's sausage was like on fire.
We almost had to call the fire department. I don't think you should have lost.
Yeah, his was burnt, like badly burnt. Now, his presentation after it got badly burnt was better than mine. I might have soaked the bun a little bit too much with the onion and bread and beer. You know, like I really wanted to make sure that that sausage had a good flavor to it. So my presentation wasn't as good, but I know for a fact that mine tasted better. It was cooked better. But then it came down to a fan cheer-off, and I lost the fan cheer-off. Obviously, I'm in the state of Wisconsin with the favorite Mark Tauscher.
Mm-hmm.
I lost the fan cheer-off, and that's the way the cookie crumbles.
And well, I did think it was inappropriate that your dad then got in Tausch's face and was trash talking him. I didn't think that
did
was
he?
Necessary. No.
Oh,
wait, that was Halliburton's dad. Never mind. I got those two stories confused. My fault. Well, it was I will say this, and I don't know. Thanks for getting the show started without me while I was getting my blood drawn. I may have sped.
Got everything all cleaned up there? You all good?
I'm good. You know,
you're not leaking anywhere, are you?
I was promised if I made the appointment at 8 a.m. and my doctor is a guy that I know. His son goes to the same high school as our girls, or as Maddie does, and Sydney will. His daughter's a swimmer at the University of Denver. His wife is Paula's primary doctor. I was like, look, you know I have the radio show at 9. If I make this appointment at 8, am I going to be okay? Oh, yeah, we'll get you out of there, no problem. Pulled in the driveway at my house at 9:03. So I appreciate you guys getting started. And I do want to get to Halliburton's dad at some point. I don't know if you mentioned this, Jesse, because I know you've been promoting it, but not only did we have Brian Bulaga, who I did a Q&A with, talking about the old Super Bowl memories after he was cheated out of the Pit Boss grilling competition, but we also sat down with Matt LaFleur. And oddly enough, Tausch didn't skip the sit-down with Matt LaFleur, but he no-showed for when you and I were talking. He was supposed to be up there, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I didn't understand
that. Skipped on that.
Yeah, that was, some friend.
I mean, we were ready for it. That was supposed to be a trio up there, and we're about to walk up on stage, and they tell us, yeah, it's just you guys. And we're like, wait, what? Like, what do you mean?
Well, just, talent outs.
Again.
Yeah.
Again, like we said, Jesse, like I said prior to we starting the show, people think we got this thing all figured out and we got to adjust on the fly. Like things happen. Things happen at the blink of an eye. We got to adjust.
Well, unlike Tausch, I at least showed up midway through the show here as opposed to not doing the Q&A, but it was great. I hadn't seen you in person, I swear, since you left in free agency. I don't remember the last time I had seen you in person. Because I didn't come down for the tailgate tour stop last year when Jesse posed in the photo as if he was a member of the offensive line, which I always enjoy. So it was great to see you in person. You and I had a great conversation, kind of walking down memory lane about the
there.
Super Bowl. Yeah, there
what
you
a,
are.
What a time we had.
Look at if you're watching on video, you got Rasheed Walker, you got Elton Jenkins, and you got Blue.
Yep.
And then you got Jesse. And they all look very similar.
Yeah.
Like they all look like they could really road great in front of Josh Jacobs.
A few members of our team in there. That was fun.
Yep.
But I the thing that was really interesting, and Jesse, I know you've been promoting this, and I'm going to promote it as well, is our conversation with Matt LaFleur on the stage. It is on the ESPN Wisconsin app right now in its entirety. We are going to hear some of that conversation during the course of the week. We've got other things we want to get to, including Brian's thoughts on the draft and the Jair Alexander situation, which continues to sort of evolve, I think. We'll get into that. But it was great to catch up with Matt LaFleur. We did create a huge bottleneck in the walkway to the point where police officers were telling people to move it along. Matt was very popular, slightly more popular than you and I when we were on stage together. But it was good to get his thoughts, and I will say, if you listen to it, he had kind of one of those knowing smirks on his face Thursday afternoon around 4 o'clock.
He was a happy guy. You could tell.
Like he knew that there was a wide receiver coming now, or at least had gotten his hopes up that there was a wide receiver coming. So we'll get into that. I am curious, Brian. What was your overall feeling? I'm sorry if Jesse asked you this already, since I am joining late.
I did not. We only talked about the grill off with
and
the
how you got cheated. What did you kind of think of the scene, the whole scene of the draft? And I don't know if I don't know if you got a chance to. I did not. I was just covering the draft like I normally would. I didn't even get to walk around inside the fences to check out like the carnival like atmosphere. Did you get to do that at all or no?
No, I didn't get to do that. I was in our area at the Tundra Trio just working there pretty much the entire time.
Grinder.
But seeing the images of it, you know, obviously from ESPN when they would pan out and look at everything, and obviously from where we were, seeing the masses of people walking by. Like, and it was a steady stream all day, right? Like by the time I got there, the amount of people continuing walking by, it seemed like it was nonstop. And from the images, it was like a very wild scene. Like it was great. Like it very much exceeded my expectations from what I thought was going to be there. And it makes me happy, right? Like it makes me happy that many people showed up, because I guess going into it, I know Green Bay Packer fans and the state of Wisconsin. It's a very proud state, very proud fan base, right? I understand all of that. But you just don't know what to expect in this situation, right? Like, you don't know how many people are going to come. Obviously, the best seat in the house is from your couch, right? Like, I mean, it is. Like, I mean, let's just call it what it is. And the draft is long, right? Like, you sit there, you wait for the pick. Like, it is a long experience. It's just a lot of standing around. Let's just call that what it is, too. I mean, if you want to get a beer, probably $10 for a beer if I had to take a wild stab at it.
It might have been a little more from what I heard.
I'd take the over.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe over that. So, like, there's a lot of things that would make you want to stay home. But seeing how many people showed up, and a lot of people wearing green and gold, so that means the state of Wisconsin really showed out, made me really happy. And they represented the Green Bay Packers and the state of Wisconsin really well. So that was really awesome to see over those 3 days how many people showed up. So, obviously, hats off to the Packers and how they, you know, kind of set this thing up, right? I know it's in conjunction with the NFL. I get all that, right? Like, I understand that. But it's on the grounds of Lambeau Field, right? It's in conjunction with the Green Bay Packers. So hats off to them, Mark Murphy, and kind of his last hurrah as the president, and how he kind of sent the organization off in his last kind of, you know, wave off. It was really well done, and I think a lot of people had fun with it and enjoyed their time there. And I was really pleased with how it was done. I thought it was great.
Yeah, kudos to you as Wisconsin fans. And I'll take the line from my buddy Pipe Jim, who's the sound guy for Pat McCurdy, and he sees this all the time. Wisconsinites love to drink outside. And this was like a roving tailgate church festival, all the places that you love to just be able to walk around outside and drink your beer. And I thought Wisconsinites and Packers fans showed up. Because, look, I went into it. I told Tausch this on Monday. I went into this thinking, how on earth is little Green Bay going to handle getting 200,000 out-of-town people coming into our city, plus the people who live here? And as it turned out, that wasn't that many. Like, there weren't that many out-of-towners. I have a buddy who drives for Uber, and he drove around Pac-Man Jones. But otherwise, he didn't have that many gigs. Like, I think it was, you know, that's 600,000, which, again, if you went all 3 days, they count you as three people. And as I've had a number of people point out, they kind of stopped scanning the app, the OnePass app. So
after further review, I'm not sure they ever started scanning the app.
Well, they did pause the entries on Thursday for a while, so they must have at least known.
They were counting somehow. It might have been just a guy counting and monitoring the monitors somewhere.
One, two, three, four.
That might have been it.
But I think it was of the vast, vast majority of folks were Wisconsinites or Iowans or Minnesotans or Illinois folks who came in that are Packers fans, because it was a manageable thing. And there's already talk of, well, what can we do next in Green Bay? I've been seeing on the local news. Now, I also have seen that there were a lot of frustrated business owners because they did not get the huge bump in business that they were expecting, which, again, leads me to wonder if you're a local person, you've got kind of your places to go and whatever. And I'll be curious to see kind of what the postmortem is on it. But it was from a purely visual standpoint. When those drone shots or high camera shots would show the crowd, how could you be anything but proud, right? I mean, Wisconsinites showed up in a big way. All right, I want to get Brian's thoughts on this draft. Two enormous offensive linemen among the eight picks, one in the second round, one in the seventh. Dave and Aaron Blue probably came up to the draft to try and recruit big old Wisconsin offensive lineman for Iowa. As Ted taught us, Ted Thompson taught us, good Lord only makes so many big guys. So you find them where you can find them, that's for sure. All right, today is also a sad day because it is the end of April, which means it's the last time that, well, if Tausch was here, but that I get to talk about the buzz that was surrounding our unbelievable TV commercial for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. That's right. It's
what a run.
Going to be off the air now that the draft has passed us. But there's also been a lot of buzz surrounding not only the draft, but all the great things that Pella has to offer. But you won't find a draft seeping through your Pella Windows and Doors. In fact, you should make Pella your number one pick, because right now you can take advantage of no interest financing options or free glass upgrades. Their talented designers and installers can match your unique home through seamless customizations. I know we had that done with our big new window that we've got in the front. Certain restrictions do apply, and the deal ends today. So place your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com. Brian Bulaga is our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs we believe in better. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Continuing with Brian Bulaga as our cousin sub of the day for Tausch. Cousin subs, we believe in better. All right, Brian, put on your analyst cap. Packers take eight players in the 2025 NFL draft. Two wide receivers, two offensive linemen, three defensive linemen, including two edge rushers, and a corner. And a partridge in a pear tree. Your overall thoughts of the 8-player haul, which is the smallest draft class, tied for the smallest draft class Goody has ever had. What did you like? What did you not like as much? What are you intrigued by? What'd you think?
I liked it. I think you did a good job. And I'm going to say this. I think you look at the draft as a whole. I think he hit all the spots where you saw potential, maybe soft spots in the roster or potential weaknesses in the roster or potential contractual issues in the roster. He hit all those spots, with this draft, or tried to see if he could aid those positions with this draft. And I think obviously we will save judgment on these guys, you know, not for just this year, but a year or two down the road. We can't judge picks in 1 year. That's unfair. But he certainly tried to address needs of the team in this draft. Like the old adage of, we're just going to take the best player available. He may have done that, but he took best player available based on team need, which I think is, I think he did a good job with that, right? Like, cause he didn't go and take a safety. We don't need safeties, right? He didn't go and take, tight ends. We have good tight ends. Like it was a draft where he saw, where he thought issues were within the roster, and he drafted the best guys available in those positions to help bolster it. So, overall, I think he did a really good job. And again, we'll hold out and see how these guys kind of, you know, find their way and work themselves into this roster and kind of make a name for themselves. But you look at the draft on paper, I think he did a good job. And I mean, taking 2 wide receivers in the first 3 rounds, clearly, that is a 2 picks that he's looking at it as, I have 4 guys up in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. I mean, it's not saying that I don't think that the guys in that room are bad players. That's saying I have 4 guys up in 2 years. I can't pay all 4 guys in 2 years. That's what that's saying, because you can't pay all 4 guys in 2 years. Taking 2 linemen, I get the one guy was in the 7th round, but taking a tackle in the 2nd round, paying a free agent left guard, all, and then taking a 1st round left tackle last year, all of that in essentially 2 years, that's saying I have 3 guys up in free agency after this year. I need to re-bolster that room. Those are all signs that he's looking at this thing down the road and trying to readdress these rooms in a through the draft and obviously a little bit through free agency as well. So I look at it as a good draft. I get it. It was only 8 picks. It was his lowest amount of picks in, you know, forever, obviously. But I think he did a good job with it. And again, we'll see how these guys turn out a little bit down the road.
John Williams is the left tackle from Cincinnati that they took in the 7th round at number 250. Started 27 games at left tackle during his career for the Bearcats. I mean, he's 6'4", 322. Anthony Belton, the 2nd-round pick, NC State, also a left tackle, started 38 games as a left tackle in college. He is 6'6", 335. The plan for you when you were drafted was, I think, to replace Chad Clifton. You ended up replacing the guy you're replacing on the show today. And you never really got your opportunity at left tackle because you tore your ACL on family night when you were supposed to be the left tackle. But, man, does this team love moving guys from left tackle to elsewhere, right? TJ Lang was a left tackle. Josh Sitton was a left tackle. David Bakhtiari was a left tackle and got to stay there. But take me through being around those guys and doing it yourself, going to the right side. How hard is that? Because I'm not sure Anthony Belton is – he's not going to be in the competition for the left tackle job this year. Goody said so. He said it's going to be Morgan against Rasheed Walker. So what's realistic to expect of these 2 behemoth offensive linemen that they drafted?
Yeah, I mean – That's an interesting, I didn't hear him say that. So that's news to me right off the get. So for him to say that, that's essentially him letting Belton know, like, hey, like, might as well take that spot and let you know, like, this isn't going to be a three-man battle for that job. Like, so, like, yeah, he may take reps there probably with the third team. You know what I mean? Just to, just to take reps there, because chances are, like, and this is most likely, I mean, I'm just calling it how it is. He's going to be up on game day, right? Like, let's just call it what it is. Like, no matter which way you cut it, Belton most likely will be up on game day. So he needs to be able to know how to play that position and whatnot. But he's essentially telling him, like, hey, you're going to have to learn how to play left guard. You're going to have to learn how to play right guard. You're probably going to have to learn how to play right tackle. He's letting him know now that I get you played 30-something games at left tackle in college, but you're going to have to change your mindset and have to be open to learning different positions. And it, listen, it's tough as a young guy when that's the only thing you've done your entire collegiate career. It's tough, especially when you want to come in and you want to compete and show your best version, right? Like, you want to show this coaching staff and you want to show the GM that, like, this is the best version of me and the best version of you is at left tackle. And they're essentially saying, like, yeah, you're not getting that opportunity, at least right now. It's tough, but you're just going to have to go in there and kind of, you know, take the opportunity that they give you and run with it and be the best version of yourself at that position. Now, whether that's at right tackle, not going to get many chances at right tackle with Zach Tom. You're just not. You're not going to get many opportunities with the ones at right tackle. Maybe if Zach Tom, like, because as Zach Tom gets older, they're going to start cutting his reps too. Like, they're just going to, they're going to start chopping his reps down. They're going to get less and less and less. I get he's not even out of a first contract yet, but they're going to start protecting him too. Like, it's just natural. It's the natural order of things as guys get, as not that he's getting old in this league, but he's going into a contract year. He's getting up in there in the league. He's getting more experience. So he will probably get reps at right tackle with the ones at some point, but not as many as he would want. There's a chance that he competes at right guard with Sean Ryan. There's a chance of that. I mean, this dude is massive, 6'6", 336 pounds. I mean, that is a large human being. Like, that, you know, any way you cut this thing, that's big. But you look at, you mentioned it, like TJ, Josh, they were left tackles in college. They kicked inside to guard. The only caveat to that is those guys, they were guard bodies, if that makes sense. To the listeners, like,
totally,
you know what
does.
I mean? Like, they weren't really tackle bodies. Could they do it in a pinch? Yeah, TJ did it. Josh did it, I think, a couple times in his career. Kicked out there and did it for, like, maybe a quarter. TJ had done it for a game or two, I think, in his time.
But fans should think of, like, Sean Ryan, who wears your number. Sean Ryan was a left tackle at UCLA. But, again, when you look at him, he looks more like an NFL guard than a left tackle. Fair?
Yes, correct. Yeah, yes, exactly. So, like, he's a perfect example of that, is he's more of a guard body and a guard fit. And you look at how he's played over the last kind of year and a half, it fits that, like, mold of, like, transitioning from left tackle in the guard, and he's kind of settled in there and he's played well. So, like, this is going to, like, the one thing I will say about this is these two guys getting drafted here, the left tackles, that they're going to have to transition and find spots on the line to play and compete. It's going to make this room better, right? It's going to make it better. It's going to make it more competitive. It's going to push guys, which overall is better for the team, better for the offense, because the more competition you can get at certain spots, the better it is for the group overall. And in my time there, there just never really was that type of deal, right? Because you looked at the starting five, and there really wasn't many guys that were pushing those five, right? Like, I mean, I'll just call it what it is. Like, no one was pushing Bakhtiari. No one was pushing Sitton. No one was pushing Lindsley. No one was pushing TJ. And, like, I always felt like I was being pushed, because I felt like they always brought someone in to push me. But I felt like I was fighting every year for my job. But that's just what it was. Like, that's how I felt personally in my head. But, like, that's how, like, that line was set up. So, like, sure, maybe they would bring guys in and you felt like you were being pushed and they were drafting guys to try to replace you, and that's how you mentally have to approach it. But you look at the roster and it just wasn't that way. This is different right now, the way this is set up, if you look at it, right? Like, you have guys that have been starting lots of games, but there's guys behind them that are high picks that mm-hmm. are pushing them right now. And it's very different the way this is set up. So it's exciting, and it's going to be a very high level of competition during camp. I'm excited to see how this whole thing kind of shakes out.
I am too, and I'm also very interested to see how it shakes out long term, because, again, I like Sean Ryan. I think he plays with a nastiness. But when you draft a guy in the second round like they did with Anthony Belton, now the handwriting is, it appears to me, and this is just my view, that I think Goody is thinking we're going to recycle offensive linemen on a regular basis, and we're going to just cycle through them. I'm still curious. You know, I don't know how Elton is feeling right now. But if I was Elton, yeah, with the move to a different position and all the other stuff, I'm not sure I'd be super happy with my contract situation with 2 years left on the deal. But when you draft Anthony Belton in the second round this year and you draft Jordan Morgan in the first round last year, I assume that they are going to pay Zach Tom, and everyone else is going to be expendable as they cycle through their offensive linemen. That's the vibe I get.
It seems that way too. And maybe it's just me, right? And you've been covering this team a long time, and obviously the cycles change and the league changes and the trends change. And you know, it just seems that the body type and the style changed as Goody is drafting is changing, right? Like, When I was there and I was getting drafted, Ted had a body style and a type of guy that he drew. You looked at us up front. We were all very similarly built.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
you looked at us five across the board, right? Like, there was no one that was 330 pounds. Like, there was
nope.
that was none of us, right?
Athletic, look at this, not bulky.
Yeah. Yeah. You look at this group right now. You look at this, the free agent they brought in, right? The guy's huge. He's mm-hmm. massive. And then they draft Belton. And you know, Rashid Walker's a big man. He's mm-hmm. an enormous guy, too. Like, so you're looking at this kind of this shift in mindset of the body type of offensive lineman that Goody is envisioning for this group. And does that make you think, what type of run style and run game are they envisioning for this group? And that's intentional, right? Like, that's not a mistake. That's not a that's not like a oops, like,
yeah, we didn't realize this guy was this. Let's get into that, because this is one of the thing. I mean, you're great at a bunch of things, but this, I think this is something that fans are really interested in, because I agree. You know, John Eric Sullivan had a line where he said, big never gets small. Which I was like, okay, I guess that's true. But you talk about Aaron Banks, you talk about Anthony Belton, even John Williams, that seventh round pick. Let's talk a little more about this, because now, especially with you here today, I want to get into that. We'll get into Jair Alexander a little bit later. But I do want to understand this, because they have a big bruising running back. They ran a lot of duo blocking schemes for him. Is there a shift in philosophy here up front? We'll talk about that with Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day. There's no shift in philosophy when it comes to Gruber law offices, though. They are there to win your case. Again, I was talking to David and Steven. They were at the Tundra Trio over the weekend for the draft. It was great to see both of them. And what I say to you all the time, I mean, and they hope this too, we hope you never have to call them, that you never have to make that call, because that means you have been injured in an accident. But you need the best team on your side when something like that happens, and that's what Gruber Law Offices is. So go to the website, gruber-law.com, or make the call. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666, 414-276-6666. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. Brian will explain to us what's happening on the metamorphosis on the offensive line of the Green Bay Packers next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
On the air, on demand, on social, on Wisconsin sports. Serving Wisconsin sports fans. This is 100.5 ESPN.
I've got some famous friends you probably never heard of. But back in Rutherford County, our crowd is second to none. You might not know them here in this big city we're in. But when I go back home...
You know what that music means. It's time for Tackle Talk with Brian Bulaga, who also happens to already be here as our cousin sub of the day. I'm going to read you this quote from Goody. Now, I don't want to...
This is the quote? He stuttered that much?
Yeah, no. Well, I'm a little leery because I don't want to call him a liar.
Oh, boy.
So here is what he said when he was asked directly about Josh Jacobs and this trend line of big offensive linemen. This was after the pick of Belton, not to be confused with Bo Melton or Elton Jenkins. Belton, and I'm quoting here. I mean, again, I think we've always tried to stay big. I don't think anything's really changed, and certainly having Josh Jacobs, what we've had in the past, he was going to be that kind of player regardless. So really, having Josh doesn't factor a ton into this. We would just like to be big. Okay, Brian, but you never were this big. Like, Banks is huge. Belton is huge. There is a change here. So I'm not sure I understand what Goody's saying here, the Gootinator.
That's a good graphic right there. I get he's trying to potentially make it seem like we've always been big. But I can surely say, sure, I may be big. I'm 6'5 and some change. I weigh 315 pounds. I certainly was not built like Belton. I'm not built like Banks. Bakhtiari wasn't built like that. TJ wasn't built like that. Sitton wasn't built like that. Billy Turner wasn't built like that. Corey wasn't built like that. Like, I can go up and down the list. Chad wasn't built like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can go through all the guys I played with from my time there. They weren't like that. Elton wasn't even like that from his first year there. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
there's certainly a shift in mindset of how they want this group up front to look and their mentality of potentially the run game and how they want this thing to look and potentially even a schematic shift. Now, I'm not saying they're getting away from LaFleur's bread and butter. I think that would be a bad thing to do. That is not the thing to do, because you don't bring in Banks from the Shanahan tree, which he is used to doing. He's used to running this scheme, right? This is where he comes from. To just go away from that, right? Like, that is not what you do. But you don't bring in these massive bodies to just go side to side, right? Like, that's not something that you do. I mean, you look at what comes to mind right away to me is what Philly does, right? Like, Philly has massive offensive linemen. Like, they are massive up front.
Yeah.
Philly's been massive up front for a long, long time. And Philly, yes, they do run zone, right? Like, they do run a lot of zone. But what Philly does really well is they run a lot of pin and pull. So they down block, pull a guy, and Saquon follows behind. Or they run a lot of duo downhill or tight inside zone, and Saquon follows behind that. So there's a lot of trends that follow in the NFL, right? Like, there's trends are a very interesting thing in the NFL. And it seems to be that the trend in the NFL right now is going away from kind of what I remember us being in Green Bay for the longest time was kind of what we were, right? We weren't small by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
Like, we weren't tiny, but we were all in that 315 and under size frame, like, and we were good laterally. We were really pass blockers. That's what we were, right? We had Aaron Rodgers as our quarterbacks.
Yep.
We were pass blockers. Like, that's what we did really well. And we could run the ball when we needed. We had Eddie, right? Like, Eddie was our running back. But, like, certainly we were not 335 pounds running duo. Like, that wasn't.
And a big back. I mean, he was a big physical back. Like, you know, people forget that behind you guys, he had back-to-back 1,100-yard seasons. Like, I know, you know, Mike regrets basically calling him fat publicly. That was a mistake by Mike, and he owns that. Eddie Lacy was a better running back than he gets credit for, just because he was out of the league as quickly as he was and didn't love. He's the example I use, though, when we talk about Goody saying guys that need to love football. He didn't love football. He doesn't, you know, like, he was good at it, but, you know, he was a different guy with a really, dare I say, sweet personality that he just he was not a killer. He just wasn't, and he didn't want to play that. But he made you make business decisions when he ran your ass over, that's for sure.
Yes, he did. Eddie ran the football hard. We'll just put it that way. Eddie ran the football hard, and he was really fun to block for. I'll put it that way. He was fun back to block for. But, I mean, regardless of any way you know, Goody or Sully, or even if you talk to Butkus or Steno or LaFleur, anyway, they want to cut it, right? Like, they can, they can say what they want. There's a change, right? And it's very obvious what the change is. And I would like it's not like it's, I'm saying it's a negative change, but there's a change,
right? Just acknowledge the change. It is different.
Yes, there's a different mindset of how you're approaching the guys up front, and it's a shift of we're getting big, and like there's a difference between just big guys and really big guys, and they're going with the really big approach, which based on their run scheme and how they approached that last year with Jacobs, this doesn't surprise me, right? It does not shock me. So while I hope they still continue to lean more into LaFleur's outside zone stretch game, I hope Banks, and I hope if Belton does get reps at right guard, which I still think Sean Ryan is, I mean, I think Sean Ryan's a good right guard. So, like, I hope that he pushes hard and he fights for that job, right? Like, I really do. But say Belton does get opportunities there, right? Like, I hope he's able to run LaFleur's scheme. That as pure as LaFleur's scheme is, I hope he's able to run it so they can do both. They can do the duo downhill, and they can run the wide zone stretch. Because, like I've said in the past, if you can get Jacobs to do both of those, it puts defenses in massive binds. It doesn't allow defenses to just tee off downhill on duo schemes. It makes defenses have to run laterally. And when now you have these massive men up front that hide Jacobs running laterally, which puts defenses at huge disadvantages. So, like, I understand what they're doing. It's just, can these guys execute what LaFleur's scheme entails? And that's what I'm going to be interested to see, if that's the approach they're going with.
I am still, based on kind of the way questions were answered about Belton, I think he is drafted to be the right guard in 2026. I think Sean Ryan, and maybe they rotate him in some like they were doing with with Jordan Morgan last year, but I think that those picks are, hey, we're going to let these guys walk picks. I could be wrong, and maybe Belton, look, nobody knew that David Bakhtiari was going to come in as a rookie, and they were working him at guard while you were still healthy in 2013, and there was the buzz that first week of camp, oh, this guy's pretty good. This guy's made a strong first impression, and there was talk about, hey, maybe he's going to find a spot on the starting offensive line with you at left tackle still. And then obviously he's thrust into that role because of family night. So I'm not ruling out Anthony Belton being a starter, but the way they talked about him, there's going to be some transition time for him. And they love the size, but again, there's, you know, I think I want to see what his footwork is like when we get to see him.
Yep.
Because he's a, it's great he's big, But if you're big but you plod around, that's not so great. So I'm eager to see that.
I'll put it this way. If he's kicked inside, right, and he mm-hmm. does play inside, you're going to get a really good test of how you move against Kenny. Like, you're going to find out really quick your footwork and how you move laterally and how you're able to get your feet in the ground and do things against Kenny, because Kenny is so good laterally and so good with his hands and so quick that is a really good baptism by fire right there. Like, it was the same way for me with Clay. Like, that's how I learned really quick what's going to work in the NFL and what's not going to work in the NFL was by going against Clay every day. Like, so there's certain things that guys get to learn out as a rookie, like what's working, what's not working. And like, some guys get to experience it against really good players really quick. And that's like something that if they move him inside, like, you get to figure that out really quick. So there's pros and cons of that. And that's the thing, that if Belton does play inside and they try to transition him there, he'll get to figure that out.
We will get to Jair Alexander and his situation. And I do want to talk about Tyrese Halliburton's dad and that whole situation last night as the Bucks blew a 7-point lead in the last 40 seconds and lose the series. That was hard to watch. But I thought Giannis rose to the occasion, not just in the game, but more importantly, afterward, when talking about it. I want to get to all that in the 10 o'clock hour. I want to wrap up the 9 o'clock hour by talking a little bit about the Packers' new version of Zach Bond. I only wish Tausch was here, because I not only referenced him in the tweet promoting the story,
You're
but I also
be hearing about that one later this week.
Thought about him as I wrote my headline. We'll get to that after Jesse tells us about the Hard Rock Casino, where Tausch and Jesse and I will all be, unless you're going to... There's no way you're not going to this, right?
Oh, I'm going to this one. Yeah, rumor has it my mom and dad might even make a stop by at this
one. That's a week from tomorrow.
Yeah,
we'll be
check
there.
This out. Fancy graphic on the video stream for those of you that are watching with us. Yeah, we will be at the Hard Rock Casino Rockford next Thursday, May 8th, doing the show. Jason Tausch, I wasn't good enough to make the graphic, but that is fine. I will be there too.
Better.
Mark Tauscher here for the Hard Rock Casino Rockford. The new Hard Rock Casino Rockford features over 175,000 square feet of gaming and entertainment space, including more than 1,300 slot machines, 50 live table games, a sports book, and a rock shop. I think we'll be checking all that out when we're there next Thursday. The Hard Rock Live Entertainment Venue, it's not just a casino, also, it's also the entertainment venue, a 23,000 square foot premium concert and event space featuring more than 1,000 feet of LED screens to enhance the experience for up to 2,000 guests. I wonder if they're going to put us on all those LED screens next week. That'd be pretty fun.
I hope not.
Hard Rock Casino Rockford, a premier entertainment destination just off I-90 in Rockford. You can actually see the address on the video stream right there. Punch that in. That's where you can find us next Thursday doing the show, Hard Rock Casino Rockford.
I did punch that address in, and it's only 2 hours and 58 minutes from my house. So,
and if
it'll
you speed
be,
like you did this morning, you'll make it in 2.5.
It'll be a bit of a commute for the show, but we're really excited to do it, so we look forward to that. We look forward to more with Brian Bulaga as the 9 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch rolls on. Stick around.
Brian Bulaga on Wilde and Tausch is brought to you by Surfside. Surfside iced tea and vodka and Surfside lemonade and vodka. It's light, refreshing, and has zero bubbles. It's perfect for a day on the golf course or a day at American Family Field. Cheers to Surfside.
So I don't necessarily get irritated easily, despite my reputation. But when Tausch was getting after me after the season for suggesting that one of the keys to the offseason would be for Goody to go out there and get his Zach Bond, I wasn't saying that the guy that he picked up necessarily needed to suddenly morph into a first-team All-Pro the way Zach Bond did.
I believe the response was something along the lines of, no blank blank, let's go pick up a guy for nothing and he turns into an all-pro.
Which, oh, by the way, Goody had done already with Devondre Campbell. So there was some history to that, right? But they signed Isaiah Simmons, who, again, when news comes out of a guy signing a deal and the insiders like Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter never mention how much the deal is worth, you know, it ain't worth much in the grand scheme. It's certainly worth more than my salary, but it is not worth big bucks because otherwise agents want that information out there, okay? So he gets a one-year deal from the Packers. But, Brian, this guy was the eighth overall pick in 2020. He has never missed a game in the NFL, 84 games. He has started 42. Has he been a field-tilting player who was lived up to his eighth overall pick status? No. Spent the last 2 years with the Giants, played on special teams, freak athlete, 9.97 RAS score. Goody, since you've never heard of that, that's a relative athletic score, even though you have your own version of it. This is the kind of low-risk signing that, frankly, Ted didn't do very often. But whether it's Mecole Hardman, who may or may not have a role on this team, or this guy, like, there is value in picking these guys up. And then if you somehow miraculously hit on it, all the better. Right? This really irritates me. And the fact that I was thinking about Tausch when I wrote the headline, and I made sure that I put in there, could Isaiah Simmons be the Packers' version of Zach Bond? Yes, I was thinking about the big fella.
You might as well have made the title "Hey Tausch" with a middle finger emoji, because that's what it read like to me.
Fair.
Yeah, this there's absolutely no risk to this deal. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, I can't say I know much about Simmons. You know what I mean? Like, I can't say I know much about him. I do know this, that, you know, with the linebacker room, it's Quay, it's McDuffie, it's Cooper, and
they brought back Christian Welch, the former Iowa player.
And Welch.
They've got Tyron Hopper, the third round pick last year, who didn't do much last season.
Okay, so they got five in the room right now, technically.
Yeah.
So they have five in the room. It's certainly one of those pickups that you bring him in and you see how he adjusts to Halfley's defense. Maybe he gets into it and he takes to it really well. And he takes off and he's super comfortable in it. And he, I don't want to say he plays like Bond, right? Like, that's super, like, you know, I mean, that's, you know, it's very unrealistic to just say a guy's going to play like that. But say he takes to it really well and he's able to be a solid contributor. Like, and this is like, I guess, I know this is negative, but it's hard to stay completely healthy in the NFL for a full year. Mm-hmm. Like, in every position, right? Like, we saw Quay get hurt later in the year and we saw things like that. Like, those things happen throughout an NFL season. So if you bring in a guy like Simmons and say he does take the defense well and he ends up playing special teams and he's a contributor and you're able to bring him in and he takes to the scheme well and you're able to bring him in and he gets snaps and he plays well, that's like a huge benefit, right? And he's a veteran player and he understands what, you know, what needs to be done and he's been around the block a little bit and he gets the ins and outs of these things. Like, it's nothing but a high side signing to me. Like, it can only go one way because there's no downside to it.
Right. Right? You just cut him.
Yeah. There's no wasting money to it. There's no negative to this thing. So to me, it's worth the exploration of it. Just like the Hardman deal, right? Like, it's the same thing. It's worth the exploration. Let's see how he fits. If it fits really well, Goody looks great on it, right? Like it looks really, really good, and it boosts the team. So, like, to me, it's a great signing. I mean, the guy was an 8 overall pick. There was a reason for it, right? Like, and I get it. Not everyone turns out to be a great player in the NFL if you're picked in the top 15, 20, whatever picks. I get it, right? It doesn't work out for everyone. Sometimes that's situational, where you're at and where you go and things happen, right? And I get it. He's had opportunities elsewhere and hasn't panned out, and it can't blame it on everyone, right? But there's sometimes, like the Bond situation, you get into a situation that fits you perfectly. The circumstances fit you perfectly. The coaching fits you perfectly. The atmosphere, everything matches up for you, like just ideal. And you're just able to perform. And I'm hoping, you know, maybe the Hardman one, again, I don't know how much with the draft picks now, I don't know how much he's going to see the field. But with this one, and I get it with Cooper, with Quay, even with McDuffie, right? Like those guys are the guys, right? Like you assume those are the guys. But with him, with Simmons, you just never know. You bring him in and he takes to this thing really well. You just never know. So like to me, it's a good 1 year sign to see how it goes, right? Let's see how it goes, see how we take it.
Yeah, I'm curious. And again, I'm not saying he's going to become Zach Bond, but if he costs you next to nothing and no guaranteed money, and it doesn't work out, you cut him in training camp and you keep younger guys that you like. I mean, he's only 26 years old. Like, there's a lot in front of him still. And maybe, like Blue said, sometimes you just had to hit on the right fit. And maybe this, as opposed to Arizona and the Giants, is the right fit. All right, we'll get into the 10 o'clock hour. We'll talk about Jaire Alexander and how he still fits or doesn't, into the Packers' plans. If you've got plans, everybody's got plans, but for every stage of life, you better plan on making the switch to UW Credit Union for every you. Proudly serving Wisconsin for over 90 years, they'll help you reach your financial goals. You know, people ask Tausch all the time why he joined UW Credit Union. Is it to keep his banking local? Is it the member-first service? Is it great perks like early payday? Is it to be more like Wildy, because Wildy's been a UW Credit Union member for much longer? It's all of that, but he also likes to say it's because of that cute Bucky on his card. I can't say no to that rascal, he likes to say.
That rascal.
If you love Wisconsin like he does, you can't pay with anything else. Become a UW Credit member and UW Credit Union member, easy for me to say, and get your Bucky card like Tausch. Federally insured by NCUA, terms apply. The 10 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch with Brian Bulaga as our cousin sub of the day starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.